Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's February 20, 2012, and this is episode 323. So following on from last week, we're back again with our good friend Landon Michelson, and we're going to continue with the interview and then move on and take a look at some of Landon's great work. So welcome back, Landon.
Good to be back.
So let's see. We finished off last week talking about your moonlighting job and, you know, all of your amazing photography experience. Let's talk today about where you're heading in 2012.
Okay. I mainly want to start just by saying that I'm trying to answer two questions for myself this year. And the first question is, what do I want to say to the world?
Yeah.
And the second question is, what can I do that nobody else can? And I think 2012 is kind of a year to reevaluate where I am, where I'm going, and what I want to do. So in this process, I've realized that my personal work needs to become more personal. I have some great clients, but I realized that to push my work to the level I want and need it to be, I need to work with models, actors, and dancers and such, and push the creative envelope with more creative talent, more collaborations so that I can have more control over some ideas I want to make and work with talented people to get them realized. You know, great, but they're rarely models. They're rarely actors. It's hard to make my work the way I want it to with when I'm being paid to make, you know, during a paid session. Every once in a while you get to introduce something that's really cool, but not on a consistent basis. So I realize now that my portfolio needs to be more about me and less about what I get paid to shoot. And I have thousands of ideas in my head, and I need to get some of those realized. And it's easier to realize them when you've got people that work for you on a talent basis as opposed to paying you to get something for them. So,
Yeah, I've been thinking about, I watch, like in Kelby training, I watch people doing stuff with various sort of really, you know, really talented people like you're saying. And I also want to try and either hire models or, you know, like you say, do stuff to try and push your own creative envelope. But then, you know, it's different to when you're working with a customer, like a shoot I did that I spoke about on the podcast recently as well, where we shot the three sisters and their families. A number of things we did that day were my ideas, and I was trying to make something more artistic than just the straight portraits. But it's still, you're using their time, and when they're paying you, you kind of end up having to do a lot of the stuff that they, you know, it's their shot list. And so you can sometimes move it around and get people to do things that, you know, totally that are your ideas. But at the end of the day, it's you don't have the freedom that you have when you've paid someone to be there as your model or, you know, things like that. Exactly what you're saying.
And I'm working now with some new models. With some new talent, I've done some stuff with some, you know, somebody that's really good, you know, stage performer, and I just realized that I need to do stuff that's personal. I need to push my creative envelope and be in control of the more of the whole process. And clients are fun, and clients are great, and they pay the bills. But I don't know. I think what I really need to shoot is more personal work. And so I put up a little site on Model Mayhem just so I could network with local models more. Have a place so they can find me. I started, you know, networking with people that are models. I had models start calling me. And, you know, I've got some acting talent that I want to interface with. So, because models tend to do great with posing and clothing and being in front of a camera. But they're not necessarily portraying a character. Where an actor could portray, you know, a likeness or do a certain look or, you know, be creative, or even do voice, you know, work or something, you know. And then you have people that can dance and perform and jump and leap and do things that nobody else can do. So, I just realized that that's kind of that's the talent pool I need to tap into. I need to network with more of those people.
That's
what I started doing.
This is uncanny because I've been in Model Mayhem recently as well. I haven't set anything up yet, but I've been looking through and doing similar things. So I think we might end up with a few similar projects this year. That's very cool. Yeah.
I mean, Model Mayhem to me is kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of eclectic and strange and weird place, but I just realized that I got to put my billboard out there and network with people. And I found quite a few local people already. So
That's great.
It's just, figuring out the logistics and figuring out what I want to do, because I want to be in control of it. So it'll be fun, but it's kind of hard to do that in the dead of winter. So,
yeah. So do you think that you're going to be paying people, or is it going to be like working for photos, or, you know, what sort of?
It'll be both. Definitely be both.
Yeah.
I have some commercial projects. I do stock photography, but the interesting thing is that I don't do it internationally. I don't have I have micro stock accounts. I've never uploaded a photo yet. I don't know. It's just such a tough market to be in. So I've actually found that I get more success from the local market, networking with people that locally that need images from local people that have local scenery and local vistas and local hangouts. And so what I want to do is I actually want to build a portfolio of people locally, doing stuff locally to license locally and tap that market that's kind of untapped. So I've done pretty well with it.
Yeah.
I just need to do more of it. I need a bigger body of work. So I'm actually toying with how I want to put my own, not a really a stock photo site, but a place where people could browse locally to find images.
Got you. Yeah.
So that's kind of my next step. And I don't like to talk about plans because unless it's reality, it's nothing to show. But that's the direction I want to head. So much more targeted personal work.
Got you.
But in that vein, I also want to do commercial work so that I have, licensed images that I can control.
Yeah.
And have a bigger body of work. And people sell well, so I need more people.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But I'm also helping new models, in their portfolio and helping them too. So it's kind of both. Work for free and work for pay. Collaborations,
Got you. Good stuff. So let's move on and take a look at some of your images. We've selected a good few that we're going to walk through here. For the listeners, if you don't already know, the images will be available in a blog post and at Martin Bailey Photography. If you type in mbp.ac/323 for the episode number, that will take you to the blog post that contains all of the images that we're about to look at. So the first one, Landon, this is an 8-shot. This is pretty impressive. A bunch of your old work. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, this has been sitting on the top of my credenza in my office for years. And it's just something I dug out of the archive and stuck up there just to kind of remember where I came from. So this is 8 proof shots, really. They're just 4x6s in this little folio that I have, that I acquired from somewhere. I don't know. It's beat up and ragged, and it just reminds me of the type of stuff that, I've done better at since then. So these are just 8 photos of flowing water shots that I tried to take when I was, these were probably, yeah, all these were shot with the, I'm sure all these were shot with my Pentax.
And that
Ektar 25. That was my favorite film. I didn't use it in daylight. It was really just, I didn't have neutral density filters then, but when you're shooting at ASA 25, the water's nice and slow to begin with. And it was just, I liked that film. It was fun.
Yeah. Cool stuff. So,
I just wanted to give you a sense of where it came from.
Yeah.
So these were shot between about 1987 and 1991.
Yeah. So I got my first DSLR. I got my first SLR in 91. So you were doing all of this way before I'd started to get my feet wet in the SLR field. So it's pretty cool. So let's move on to the next one. Let's see. What we've got here is really just to show you in action. It's great. It's always great, especially on the web, when we often see a profile photo, or we'll learn about someone without really seeing them. But I remember, this image is really, it's like the quintessential lander. You're out there in the field. You've got your your truck there. You know, tell us a little bit about this.
So I had some time by myself because I dropped my wife off at a friend's house. And so I had some time to kill on my way home. Mm. So I took some side roads on my way home. And you can tell it was spring. The snow hadn't completely melted. This was on Stevens Pass. And there was a side road I always wanted to explore. So while I was out there, it was totally quiet. I was totally alone. There was nobody there. And I thought, you know, I need to just set up a quick self-portrait. So I just sat on the tailgate, set up a tripod with a timer, and sat on the thing and showed myself archiving photos on my way to the next place. So that's really what this is. I still have that truck today.
Yeah.
It's been modified inside a little bit for more, you know, secure storage and stuff. But yeah, that's me.
Yeah. It's great to see you.
You know, the picture is showing me archiving photos onto a portable hard drive, but I don't do that anymore. I just shoot with bigger cards and more of them. So
yeah, got you. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
So the next one we have, I remember seeing this come up a while ago. This just a crazy photo. You've called it the bowels of the storm.
Yeah, this was one of those moments. We were driving out of town. I was in the passenger seat, and I saw this cloud, and I'm like, no way. You know, we got a Mammatus cloud in our town, and it was boiling and rolling, and it looked just nasty. So I quickly pointed the camera out the windshield, and I got as close to the windshield as I could so that anything that was on the windshield didn't show up in the exposures. And I shot the camera was horizontal, but I shot three pictures vertically for a panorama. And so the top, you know, third is probably almost looking straight up.
Yeah.
Wow. And so we're driving towards this cloud mass. And then about 30 seconds after taking that third exposure, the rain started hitting the windshield.
Oh, wow.
And so it was just stormy and nasty. And the backside of it was all sunlight. But yeah, it was interesting.
I've seen photos of this phenomenon, I guess, in the past, and I've never seen this in Japan. It seems as though it's probably something to do with the area you live in. I've only ever seen photos like this, I think, from the US, although I'm sure it happens in other probably large landmass countries. But it's incredible. I'd love to see this. I'd love to get a photo of this sort of stuff myself.
Yeah, the sunlight was so strong behind it. That's why there's so much contrast, you know. But it was incredible to see it. And then it changed so quickly. Of course, we were driving out of town for an appointment, so I didn't have a lot of time to stop.
Yeah,
and I wasn't alone, so it truly was a grab shot.
Yeah, but it works really well.
Yeah, I shared this on Flickr, and then a guy from Norway saw it, and he publishes. He publishes weather and phenomenon information. He published a book, and he saw this shot, and I actually sent him a print of it in exchange for one of his books. Of course, it's in Norwegian, so I can't read it. But but he said he would have published it if he had known about it before he sent the book to press. But
wow.
Yeah, he was excited about it. So.
Yeah, amazing.
It was fun.
Shot. Is it a Silver FX Pro conversion?
No, this was shot in 2006.
Yeah. So okay. So even one wasn't available then. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a long time ago.
Wow. Excellent.
So it's just careful manipulation in Photoshop and trying to keep, you know, tonal contrast and stuff. But
yeah. Excellent stuff. Next up, we have Want Out. This is one of my favorite shots of yours. Obviously they're all favorites, but this is a beautiful shot. Tell us about this.
So this is my son.
Yeah.
And this was shot in 2006 also. So it was just one of those moments that he wanted to go outside, and I don't recall why he wouldn't. I don't remember all the implications to it. So many things have transpired since then, but I saw the moment, and I had, you know, the hands in that position, the way that the framing of the bars in the, you know, in the glass door, and his head position and the contrast range. It was just bright middle of summer day outside and dark inside. So the contrast was perfect. And then in post, I just, you know, enhanced the contrast a little more and kept it just almost pure black and pure white.
Yeah. This is such an amazing shot. The angle of his head is perfect. Like you say, you know, they're just giving you that sort of I want to go outside sort of look. And it's amazing. And the way you did it with the, like you say, almost pure black and pure white, such a graphically successful image as well. But yeah, well seen and well captured.
Yeah, I put it in here because you liked it so much. I figured you must see something in it. So I just thought, well, I will talk about an oldie but goodie.
Yeah, it's great. So let's move on. Next, we have a portrait of a little critter. What's this about?
Well, of course, this is a praying mantis.
Yeah.
And, you know, exploring macro photography, I find these in our yard quite often. Mm. You know, they're here every year. And I always find them fascinating.
Yeah.
So this was shot with a flash on external flash with a custom-made 8-inch diffusion tube that I slipped over the flash head so I could get, you know, a longer, softer, wider light source. Mm. And, of course, 8 inches when you're shooting something that's, you know, the head that's 1/8 of an inch wide, it's a pretty big light source.
Right.
And so in the black background is from the fall-off from the flash. Yeah. And it was just on a plant. I'm in my front yard after sunset. Yeah. So it was my 105 VR macro lens, 68 millimeters of extension tubes, and then a crop to frame it with the way that I wanted the antennas to come out. So it was just kind of an oldie but goodie, but having those two, I don't know what you call it, sets of black dots where the eyes are looking at me.
Yeah.
You know, it just worked. So
they are amazing creatures. I've got a few shots of these guys, but I just love the way, I mean, obviously the black background here is, it's something that happens pretty easily with macro, especially with flash. But I think it, you know, the way you've got the head perfectly sharp and then the torso is, you know, going out of the focus nicely. And it's just, it's a portrait. It's like, I almost imagine that this little guy is,
He's sitting for me.
He's sitting on a tiny stool with his legs crossed, looking back at the camera. Oh, come on, Landon. It's like, it's just, it drives me crazy. I love this shot.
So it was shot at f/14. So, but you know, as you know, the closer you get, that depth of field drops off really rapidly.
Right. Yeah.
But in this case, it just worked really good. So,
yeah.
So, and then I have a 1080p video clip of a praying mantis I shot last summer.
Oh, nice.
That it's so close, you can actually see him swallowing.
Oh, no.
And it's backlit by the sun. So yeah. it's just wild.
Oh, no. So, have you considered selling stock video clips?
I've thought about it. I've looked into it. You know, I just have to be careful how many endeavors I take on.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And for me, if I can't do it right, I don't like to dabble in it.
Yeah.
So I'm either in 100% or I'm out. I don't know. I have a hard time just dabbling in it.
Yeah, got you.
But I've certainly thought about it. I've thought about all of it. I just have to pick your battles. Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. So next up, I have a copy of this. We did a print exchange, I think it was a while back, and I just love River Rocks. Tell us about this shot.
Yeah, I love River Rocks too. And I especially like River Rocks with long exposures. Mm. I like rocks and water, period, because the rocks are so stationary and solid and permanent feeling, and water is so transitional and temporary and fluid. Mm. I just like the combination. And then when you can get great light on it, it just maximizes it. Of course, this photo is technically a mistake.
Really?
Because I didn't see this photo when I shot it.
Oh, okay.
I was after all the sun on the water and, you know, the big expansive scene. And then when I got in post, I'm like, well, that's not the shot. Mm. The shot is the more intimate detail towards the shoreline, which is the three stones and how the water, you know, reacts with it. Mm. So this is actually a tighter crop than I would like to admit.
Okay.
But it was one of those live and learn things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I tend to overshoot this stuff now if I can. I'd rather go out with two tripods and two bodies, you know, because when you're doing long exposure work, you got a long time to wait.
Yeah.
So when you're doing a 4-minute exposure, you know, you have 4 minutes to wait for that thing to cook.
Right. Well,
I can be running another body right next to it doing some other shots, you know, and stuff. So it was a good learning lesson, but I like the shot. It's just really hard to repeat. I still haven't been able to get the shot I really want to get like this again.
I do the same thing with long exposures. I I even have two intervalometers, the time remote timer things, so that I can do that, you know, so that I can do two, run two cameras at once. So
I do the same thing. And then the other thing that's nice too now is you can run two cameras, you can switch to video with one, you can do time lapse on another, and you can do, it just frees you up to do, and then you really get crazy, you can do three cameras, but
good stuff. Let's move on. The next one as well, I remember seeing this when it came up. Both hands full. Tell us about this.
This is one of those rare moments that I got to create a shot for myself at a client session. Mm. And it was totally unscripted, totally not on the shot list. It was one of those moments that just happens in front of you. Mm. And this was set up at a client's living room. Mm. And I had two lights, two Alien Bees. At that time, I was using two 60-inch umbrellas with the black. You know, I used the convertible umbrellas that you can shoot through.
Yeah.
So I'm actually shooting through the umbrella, but then using the black part of the umbrella on the back side of the umbrella to keep light spill from going all over the room. Mm. So it was kind of like a poor man's softbox back then.
Yeah.
But they were 60-inch and they were nice and they worked good. So I still have them. I would prefer to get like a 47-inch Octobox out now. But back then, that's how I used it. So I had one to camera right and one to camera left behind him. So you can see the two light sources, but they're balanced.
Yeah.
And so this was in between setups, and his daughter was hungry. So his newborn's there in his arm. Mm. And of course, he's holding her with both hands, and she's hungry. So he didn't know what to do with the bottle. So he just puts it up to his mouth to hold it so she could drink from it.
Yeah.
And of course, if you look at the fluid level, it gives it away that I rotated this in post.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I really like the intimacy of the two of their heads together.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the angle he was holding her at because it just felt unnatural.
Mm.
So in post, I rotated the crop. And and of course, this was done in Silver FX Pro. This was not long after I had it. Mm. And Silver FX Pro, you know, really gives you control over black and white. It really gives you total control over where you want to put the tonal contrast, where you want to put the lights and darks. And so that was a fun. And it was just one of those moments that just happened for a couple seconds. I snapped a photo and, you know, and then it was gone. So
It's brilliant.
It's still one of my favorites to this day.
Yeah, mine too. I remember seeing, if I recall, you had a behind the scenes shot here as well. I remember seeing the umbrella. It might not have been this shoot.
It was this shoot. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I
mean, I started with umbrellas as well, and they're great. You know, they're inexpensive, but they can be really nice, make really nice light sources.
You know, I still use them when I need them, but they are, you know, as some people call them, light grenades.
Yeah,
they do tend to throw light everywhere. So when I'm using a 60-inch umbrella, I'm usually trying to keep it in pretty close.
Yeah,
it's usually just out of the edge of frame. So
yeah.
But I try to keep light spill to a minimum. But now I'd rather grab an Octobox and.
Yeah. I haven't used my umbrellas since I got the 7-foot Octobank, and I have a 4x6 softbox now as well, and they're my preferred light sources. But you know, the umbrella, especially when you first start with this stuff, the umbrella is a great way to get into it, and it's certainly something that I'd recommend if someone wants to start using studio lighting. Then an umbrella, they're easy to control. There is the light spilling out, sort of the light grenade sort of effect. But I think that they're also, they're good to learn with as well. So.
Oh, yeah. And I still use them. I just don't use them as often. So.
Yeah. Excellent. Love this shot. Let's move on to some, I mean, I've got to admit, I only saw this the other day as we were looking for images to talk about. but this is just crazy. Tell us about this.
Okay, so in central Washington, where I live, we don't get lightning storms like you do on the coasts or in these, you know, these mountain valleys where you get this dramatic lightning. When we get lightning in this town, it's usually passing through quickly. Mm. By the time you get your camera gear, your tripod, your rice out there, it's already 3 miles up the canyon. Mm. You know, it just doesn't hang around. Well, this day, we had this weird phenomenon where the storm didn't move. It just hung there and stayed there. And of course, I raced down to this location just so I could get a vantage point, because I knew that if, You know, if I went down to the river, I'm going to be close to the lightning. If I tried to spend the time to go up on the hill to get a different vantage point, maybe it'd be gone. Because I'm so used to lightning just passing through and being over with that you get two or three strikes and the lightning storm's over with and you wait another year. So in this case, I just quickly set up at a, you know, above a school field. And I'm sitting there photographing at sunset, and this lightning's going on, and I'm like, this storm's not moving. The lightning's still hitting, and it's coming out of the same area of the clouds. So I ended up, in this shot, there's 13 exposures, all taken from the same vantage point. Not all the exact same focal length, but because Photoshop's so good, it merged them all. You know, it just figures it out. So this is 13 different lightning strike photos combined in CS4 at the time. And I just used auto line, both horizontal and vertical, you know, for the different focal length, so it figured it out. And then I turned it into a smart object layer and used the maximize function on that in Photoshop. And that was the result. It just took the 13 lightning strikes and kept them in the frame and got rid of everything else. And I just thought it was kind of cool. So I called it Lucky Strike 13, and that's how the photo came to exist. Wow. So it's kind of apocalyptic, but they were all taken from the same tripod point.
Yeah, and it really wacky. I didn't realize it was until I saw. Look, you wrote in the comment that it was, multiple exposures, but still, it's just a wacky shot. Great work. So the next image, Saturated Dance. This is the last image that we're going to look at. This is from a job that you did, yeah?
This is from a client shoot. So this is the my client in this case is Marissa. That's the female that's dancing.
Yeah.
And this was an unscripted shot. This was not on the storyboard. This was not in the planning stages. This was not at the consultation. Just to give you a little backstory, she really, really, really wanted rain shots. Problem was, she waited till October. To plan for them. So we had a rainy day, but it didn't really rain. It just was light drizzle. Light drizzle doesn't photograph. You know, it just comes out blue. So I had this idea. I said, well, we need to get to a place where we can get a hose. We need to get to a place where there's, you know, water, because I wanted water on the ground. And this shot came to be after we had shot the other photos that we really were trying to get. So I have an Alien B 800 off to camera left, on a light stand with a portable battery pack in a black plastic bag, sitting on a posing stool with an umbrella mounted to a light stand sitting next to it to keep it dry, because you don't want rain inside of a studio stove. But so that's off to camera left. I had a tripod set up for me with another light stand with an umbrella on it to keep my head and the camera dry. And then we set up the shot with these shots with, this is her boyfriend that she's dancing with. So he was holding the hose, the garden hose, and the hose is stretched out over 100 feet. So off to camera right, there's a long driveway, and we've got this hose stretched as far as it'll go. And so I just had to choose something that would work for a foreground and background that looked kind of neutral, and let the water be the main part of the image. So it was raining, but not a lot. This rain that's falling is introduced from the garden hose.
Wow.
So
I just had to... I couldn't figure out how you got that look. He's holding the hose and swooshing it around.
Well, there's a little more behind the scenes than that. But he, for all the other shots of just her... Her boyfriend was holding the garden hose.
I see.
But I had to have Dad hold the garden hose for this shot because they wanted to get a couple dancing shots together.
Okay. So but, how did you get the water to wrap around them like that?
Well, I'll tell you. But just a little more backstory. This is 50 degrees out. 50 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's not a warm day. There's no sunlight. And so all the light is from, you know, a little bit of ambient gray and then the strobe. So that's where the light came from. And then the splashing, of course, is from their feet in the puddles. But in post, I got to looking at this one specific photo, and I thought, I like the moment. I like the two of them. I like the pose. You know, they're serious together, and they're looking at each other's eyes, and she's actually smiling, but she had a great time with this whole process. He was nervous because he was worried his dance steps weren't right. So so in post, I took water splashes and Photoshop brushes and enhanced the photo to what we couldn't get on location.
Okay. Okay.
So the raindrops that are falling are from the garden hose.
Yeah.
And the little droplets on the foreground where you see the, you know, in, on the pavement, you see the water splashing up.
Yeah.
That's real. The little bit of splashing off their feet is real.
Yeah.
Everything else is manipulated to get a shot that I wanted that we couldn't do on location.
Okay.
She got bitterly cold after this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And the shoot was done after these few shots with the dancing. So I couldn't extend it any further. I couldn't go grab buckets of water and throw on them. I couldn't do some other stuff. So just knowing what the limitations were in the field, I got as many shots as I could get.
Yeah.
And then in post, I didn't even have at the time exactly what my plans were. Mm. I just saw this one photo and I wanted to take it further.
Wow.
So this is mainly Photoshop compositing with splash brushes that I've applied in a specific way to look like the water is wrapping around them and being part of the dance.
Mm.
So
I see. I thought that this was pretty clever. I was thinking, you know, like, even a dog, when they shake off water, they don't get that amount of, you know, that sort of swooshing effect. It sort of goes out. So I was trying to figure out how you'd done this, but it works incredibly well, though. I mean, it's very graphically pleasing. You've got the way it's I like the, obviously, the swoosh behind them, but also that one in front, like a C shape in front of the probably the top of their legs sort of area. That's just wacky. So I
approached this shot more like a commercial advertising shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to get, I had the idea what I wanted. Mm. Once I got home and looked at the photos, it was just a matter of taking one of these photos and pushing it to a different direction. And then they ended up making a canvas gallery wrap of this and presented it to her at her senior party.
Oh, wow.
And I was there to see her unwrap it. And,
nice.
Everybody ooh and ah over it. So I got lots of kudos that day. That was fun.
Excellent. So, Landon, that's the end of the photographs. I just quickly once again wanted to thank you for all of your time and sharing your experiences and some of your secrets. They're not so best kept anymore. There's a few more thousand people who probably just have figured this one, got a look into the mind of Landon Michelson. So thanks very much.
It's a scary place.
Well, it's really, I mean, thanks for everything that you do in the, not just the posts, but you help with the moderation on the forum as well. And, you know, you do so much for the community. I just wanted to say that I totally appreciate everything that you do.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
Well, really, I really, I don't think the place would be the same without you. So thanks very much.
Well, it's like everything else. I get more back than I give, so.
Well, that's almost hard to believe, but I'm pleased that's the way you feel. So, once again, where can people find you online, Landon?
The easiest place, just go to bksecret.com. That'll point you to everything I'm involved in. Social sites, my sites, everything. So,
yeah, excellent. Good stuff. So, thanks again, Landon, and I'll speak to you again soon.
Hey, good talking to you again, Martin.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed these two episodes with our good friend Landon Michelson. He's an incredible guy. So thanks very much for listening. Remember that you can find me on Google+ and Twitter, etc. All of the links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.